There was a coup on the 1st of February, the generals taking back control on the very flimsy excuse that the general elections, which had been won by Aung San Suu Kyi's party, had, in Trumpian style, not been completely honest. And there have been growing protests since then, and the most violent of them was the day before yesterday, when at least 38 people were killed. We're joined now by Stephen Kuo, who's an adjunct senior lecturer at UCT's Graduate School of Business. Stephen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. Thanks for having me.
Is there any way of, with sort of reasonable certainty, predicting the short and perhaps medium-term future of what might unfold in Myanmar?
I don't. I mean, I think the best we can do is to perhaps look at scenarios. A good scenario and a bad scenario or a worse scenario. I don't think you'll be able to predict political analysts end up with eggs on their face, especially now with Myanmar being right on the precipice. Nobody can tell you precisely what will happen the next week or month.
Okay, I mean, let's look at one scenario that suggests itself to me as an uninformed but interested observer, that the people of Yangon, which is where most of the protests are happening, but the people of Myanmar generally, refuse to accept the coup and continue to protest in ever greater numbers, and the military continue to react with ever increasing ferocity. Mm-hmm. And there is massacre after massacre after massacre, and the world turns it back because, after all, what could they do? They turned their back on the Rohingya, so why wouldn't they turn their back on other citizens of Myanmar?
You're right. You're right, John. The military doesn't seem to be backing down. The military have their entrenched interests. Those of us who are on the African continent, we know very well about this kind of big man politics. So the big man, as well as the faction that is in power, they have everything to gain and everything to lose if they were to hand over power. See. So they're not blinking, and they also feel that they know better than the people. So ultimately, with things like this, domestically, the people domestically need to work things out. The people are quite good. They're organizing, they're protesting. There is nationwide stay-aways and civil disobedience movement. And domestically, the sort of the minority parties, the Shang and the other minority parties who have been fighting a civil war in Myanmar over the last 50 years. So they actually they've actually called a truce amongst themselves, and they have decided they will support the civil disobedience movement. So the worst case scenario is there could be a civil war. So it's very difficult to tell. So
what's the best case, Stephen? Sorry to interrupt. What's the best case scenario?
The best case scenario is that the military junta says, okay, let's accept international mediation led by ASEAN, the regional organization. And then the base case scenario is to negotiate from November 11th, I think it was. So we go back to November 11th. The military say, look, we disagree with the elections. Let's get international observers in here. Let's start there. And then if they can recount the vote, and if the vote comes out that the military junta did lose, perhaps there can be a negotiated settlement. There could be an amnesty. And then we go back, and Aung San Suu Kyi's party comes into power, the National League for Democracy. That's the base case scenario. The base case scenario is the military blink, take a step back, and allow things to happen.
What's the relative likelihood of each scenario?
You put me on the spot. I think, personally, I have worked as an analyst before, but normally the one that you wish would happen, you're probably emotionally invested in that one. So it's probably the worst scenario. The most likely scenario, the worst scenario, is that the protests continue, the military crack down even more, and we have more death, and the civilians get upset and more angry, and now we have a civil war on our hands, and it spreads across and causes problems for the region.
Stephen Guo, thanks very much for sharing your thoughts with us. Stephen is an adjunct senior lecturer at the University of Cape Town's Graduate School of Business.